I have a question for you, and the question is, what is the first important task or the first important mission that Jesus gives to the apostles after the resurrection? Believe it or not, it is not to give money to the church, okay? Nor is it to work for social justice or none like that. Jesus tells his apostles to go out and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus chooses 12 apostles to spread the faith for the 12 tribes of Israel. And in the gospel today, how many more does he appoint? 72 more. He appoints 72 more for what? To proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand to all the nations. You and I, as baptized Christians, spreading the faith is our first task, our first mission given to us. But just how important is that? Just how important is it to spread the faith? In the book, Forming Intentional Disciples by Sherry Weddle, a survey shows whether spreading the faith is truly a high priority. And 75% of Protestants, 75% of Protestants say, yes, spreading the faith is very important, high priority. Now, what percentage of Catholics do you think spreading the faith is important? Take a guess. 20, 25. It's like an auction. Anything higher? 35. 6. 6% of Catholics said spreading the faith is very important. High priority. I heard many people say to me, many unbelievers, you might call them atheists, they said, you know, Father, I respect you. I said, oh, really? You respect me? Really? Tell me why. Well, tell me why you respect me. Well, I respect you, and I respect you Catholics, because you don't go out trying to evangelize. You just keep your religion to yourself. I respect you for that. Is that what you and I want to be known for, respected for? No. Spreading the faith should be of 100% importance. And over the years, you know, David Letterman's got his top 10 list. I have a top 7 list. I developed a top 7 list for why people don't come to church and develop a personal relationship with God, which I believe is my mission here at St. Lucie's. Under the guidance of our pastor, Father Kevin, and the lay leadership here, and with the parish, and the school, I think my mission is to help you grow and help us grow together, spreading the faith and develop a more personal relationship with God. But why is it that so many people don't want this or don't want to spread it? At this time, I ask you to put on your spreading the faith hat on, okay? And think of someone. Think of someone who does not believe. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a family member, or a co-worker, or a neighbor, someone who does not believe, or somebody who has lost their faith, or fallen away Catholics. And maybe, perhaps, one of these 7 points will resonate with them or resonate with you. What's the number one reason for not coming to church? What's that? I'm busy? Yeah? Yeah, I'm busy. Everybody busy. Oh, I love to come to church, but I just don't know how I can fit God into my schedule. Because, I mean, I have my life, things to do, work, kids. You know, it's so many things, right? How many hours does God ask you in a week? What is that? Just 1 hour. Just 1 hour to worship God. That's the minimum, right? How many hours in a day? 24. And how many is that in a week? 168. 1 divided by 168 is 0.5% of your time, folks. Do the math. God asks for 0.5% of your time. You spend more time in the bathroom. doing your pretty little makeup. Yes or no? You spend more time in the bathroom than coming to church. Number two, poor example. Poor example of the clergy, the priests, and the church leaders. How do you expect me to go to church when I see a whole bunch of hypocrites? Hypocrites, people who say one thing but do another thing. You know, priests who talk about God and all this, but they abuse kids. What's up with that? Or these church leaders. I can't receive communion from that person. She's my neighbor. She's a big time sinner. Look at those fingernails. They're dirty. You know? Hypocrites. I was at a conference in Houston, Texas. And in the freeway, there was a big billboard sign that says, "The church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites." In parentheses, it says, "And we always have room for more. Consider coming back to the church today." I'm a hypocrite. I know you're a hypocrite. Okay? Everybody hypocrites. Everybody's a sinner. But we always have room for more. Number three. Complete the sentence. Mass is boring. You got it. Ding, ding, ding. All right? I wish I can give you some candy. All right? But the Mass is boring. You know, I mean, come on, man. You got the same thing over. You got me sitting down, sitting up. Sitting down, sitting up. You know what I mean? It's like Zumba, Catholic Zumba. Sit down, sit up. Sit down, you know. You know. Give me a break. It's the same thing over and over. It's so boring. You know. But we also call the Mass the Eucharist. And the Eucharist means what? Thanksgiving. Giving thanks to who? Giving thanks to God, right? If you give me a gift, hey, Father, you know, Merry Christmas. Here's a little Bible for you, rosary, you know, nice little sweater. It's cold. What am I going to say to you? What's my normal response? Thank you. That's so sweet of you. I mean, thinking of me, you know, the sweater is going to be cold. Thank you very much. I'm going to write you a card or, you know, give you a hug, whatever, right? Do you expect me to entertain you as well? Or should I expect you to entertain me as well? Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross. And we come to church, Eucharist, to give thanks to God. Do you expect Jesus to also entertain you? You want me to stand here and do a song and dance for you as well? Number four, lack of support. Lack of support from family members. Oh, Father, I would love to come to church, but my husband, you know, I want to come to church, but my husband, you know, he's got his football and all this, you know. Or this is so sad. So many kids from catechism. You teach them about God and, you know, Mommy and Daddy, can we come to church today? Can we go to church today? Son, not today, you know. Was Jesus able to convert everybody? Did he convert everyone? No, they killed him. They killed him, right? So do you think you can convert your husband or maybe your parents? Maybe, maybe not. But I do know one thing, and that is that Jesus never gave up. He never gave up, never gave up. And you should never give up as well. Be persistent in prayer. Continue to invite that family member. Number five, too much trouble bringing children to church, you know. Yeah, you know, Father, look, I know you think my little baby is very adorable, but man, this guy, he's tremendous. He's like a little devil, you know. And I bring him to church, he's running around all over and crying, and he runs over and I say, oh, that's not mine. That's not mine. Looks like me, but it's not mine. Not my child, you know. So because I'm embarrassed, you know, and when my baby cries, people just, I get the death stare, and I'm so nervous, and I'm scared, and embarrassed. Therefore, when I do bring my babies, I don't want to bring him, but when I do, I sit in the back. Let's pretend I'm the baby, and I'm sitting in the back. This is my view of the altar. I'd be crying too. I can't see anything. Bring your little ones. Come early to church. Sit them in the front. And when they cry, I'll slap them. No, I'll be nice. I'll be nice. I'll be nice. I'll be nice. Number six, I disagree with the church's teaching. You know, the church, there's so many nice things. You know, I help the poor and all this. I agree with all that, social justice. But, you know, maybe the church is not so right on this whole, you know, gay marriage. Just let them do whatever they want. I agree with the church on certain things, but I disagree with the other thing. Therefore, I don't come to church. Well, let me tell you this. Remember when you were teenagers, or when you will be teenagers, okay? Did you always agree with everything your parents ever told you? Raise your hand if you always agreed with everything your parents ever told you. Well, you need to grow up a little more. You got to grow up a little more. Not yet. Yeah? Anybody else? Oh, yeah. Of course we disagree with our parents, you know. I hate you, Mom. I hate you, you know. I'm going to leave. You know, walk out the house, right? And then what? Oh, just crawl back in, right? Just because you disagree with your parents on something, does that mean you will leave the house forever? No. Just because you disagree with the church on certain issues, does that mean you will leave the church forever? You never need to come back? No. And actually, to bring that point a little further, probably the reason why you disagree with the church is because you don't understand the full message. You don't understand the depth, the knowledge of why the church teaches certain things. And if you disagree with certain church teachings, talk to me. I'll slap you too. No. I will sit down with you and explain to you why the church teaches certain teachings the way it is, with the beautiful tradition that we have had for over 2,000 years. Number seven, my favorite. I am spiritual, but not religious. Okay. Let me say it again. I am spiritual, but not religious. What the heck is that? What the heck is that? I am spiritual, but not religious. What are you trying to tell me here? Okay? When you say I'm spiritual, but not religious, okay, it's like when you're out in the park and you fly this beautiful big kite, right? With no strings attached. That's what it means, okay? When a kite is flying with no strings, what happens? When the wind blows, you go this way, woo, woo. And no more wind? You just fall flat right on your face, okay? Religion is a string, the tension that keeps us in check from creating our own religion. When you say I am spiritual but not religious, that means I believe in the God of Steve. I believe in the God of Steve, the God that I create for my own convenience, the way I like it to be, not in the God of Jesus Christ. Very dangerous path that you're headed towards. This week, I ask you to be one of the 72 that Jesus appoints, sends out to spread the faith, and I always assign homework. This is your homework. Ready? This week, think of someone. And I'm not asking you to think of, you know, 10 people or a gazillion people. Just one person, okay? I hope this is doable. Just one person. Think of one person that you can spread the faith. Give them a call. Visit them. Text them. Email them. And discuss one of these 7 points that we have discussed. Share with them your faith. Pray for that person. Pray together with that person. Invite them to church. Invite them to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.